Welcome to the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin, your source for real estate investment jewels of wisdom.
Welcome to the REI Diamond Show. It is once again time for the monthly market update for this current month. We are in January 2017. I'm here now with our resident expert, economist, and wealth advisor, Paul Sloat, who is also the founder of Green Drake Advisors based in Wayne, Pennsylvania. Every month, Paul joins us on the show and fills us in on the economic forces at work, the national and global economies, and what those forces are expected to do to the local real estate investment markets in the short and long term. So with that, welcome to the show, Paul.
Hello, and thank you. How was your holidays, Dan?
I had a good holiday. I didn't have to travel this time. I stayed here in Chicago and just kind of kept it low key. Yeah, actually, it was balmy out here. How about you, Paul?
Yeah, I had a pretty good holiday. Bennett with my kids, who were home for the holidays, and that was really enjoyable. But nice. While you and I could spend a lot of time talking that way, I'm not quite sure your listeners would get a lot out of it. So let me talk about what we're seeing in the marketplace. We'll talk a little bit about the macro. I know last time we had discussed President-elect Trump and what was likely to come from President-elect Trump in terms of how things were going to play out over the next, couple of years. So let's talk a little bit about what that means. First of all, as we discussed, interest rates have gone up, and that's going to start to put some pressure on cap rates for real estate. It's also on the margin going to ration some people out of the marketplace. So we should be aware of what's going on with interest rates. But I'm going to go through different classes of real estate right now and talk about what we're seeing ahead and how you really should be thinking about the overall marketplace as we go through 2017 and then into 2018. Because I'm assuming that most of your listeners are not buying for the next 3 months, but going to be involved for the next 3 years at least in the market. So one of the fundamentals we have going on in a lot of areas of real estate, we seem to be having peak conditions, or things seem to be rolling over a little bit. So we're going to talk about that. And in a way, the fundamentals are beginning to deteriorate. And as a result, as I told Dan pre the show, for the first time in 5 years, we've gone neutral on the housing market. Now, that's not a negative call. We made a negative call back in 2006, which turned out to be highly prescient in terms of what we saw coming over the horizon. But in this case, we're merely neutral. We think you're going to have a period similar to the late 90s where housing goes sideways, similar to what happened then. And you had a little pullback during the recession, but really was a blip. And then what happened is the housing market went straight up. We think that you're going to have a period of digestion here in the housing market. And the housing market's going to go sideways for a while, and we'll enumerate in detail why. And then after the next recession, we think you'll have another move up. So here are some of the things we see going on that, at least on a short to intermediate term basis, are going to cause a pause in the housing market. So the first one that we see is the rise in interest rates. We don't think the rise in interest rates is done. We think we're going to have a little pullback here in interest rates before they go higher. So that will definitely impact mortgage rates and the rates at which people can borrow money. So that in and of itself will put pressure on the price of housing, because we know that when a mortgage goes from 3.5% to 4.5% on a 30-year mortgage, it increases your monthly cost by 13% for the actual mortgage payment. So that is one thing to keep in mind. Secondly, we see more units out there, so we are normalizing the total units in the housing market. So while single-family units still remain below their long-term averages and where they probably need to be, we have a significant number of multifamily units being constructed. So in total, we're getting up to that 1.1 to 1.2 million units, which is sort of normalized supply over the long term. Now, yes, there are some replacement units needed, et cetera, but we're getting closer and closer to that number. And number three, here's the other thing. There has been some inflation in labor costs and other areas that are causing construction costs to rise 4 to 5% per annum. And we think there'll be a little squeeze on the builders because construction costs will go up, but prices will kind of level out. Remember, a buyer has a choice. They can buy a new home or they can buy an existing home. So we think there's going to be some pressure on the margins in the housing business. So given that and given a variety of other factors in the economy, we think that you're getting to a point where housing's going to go sideways for now until after the next recession, and then it will resume its uptrend. Contrarily, we see for multifamily housing a lot of data points that indicate we don't want to be there over the long term. Okay, so what are those? Let's start with what's going on this economic cycle. Since the last recession, we've added 8.7 million households renting and taken away 1.2 million households owning homes. If we look at what's going on with the millennials, they may be a little behind the rest of the generations that preceded them, like the baby boomers, but they're still getting married and having kids. And what we are seeing is that the millennials are starting to buy homes, especially starter homes. So that's good for anybody who's building starter homes or who is buying properties and fixing them up and reselling them, because the millennials need a place to live, especially when they have two kids. A small apartment just doesn't do it anymore. So, number one, the millennials are beginning to look like every generation that preceded them. It is just with a lag. They're getting married a little later, so therefore they're having kids a little later. But at the end of the day, they're buying homes, and they're starting to buy homes. And after the next recession, the rate at which they buy homes is definitely going to accelerate. So that's the next factor, which will be a negative for multifamily apartments. Third on my list for multifamily apartments is that we have a lot of supply coming. And I mean a lot of supply. We are at record levels of spending on multifamily housing above the peak pre the prior recession. And we're also building units at a pace not seen in decades. So, what are we doing? We're building lots of units into deteriorating fundamental demand factors. That's usually not a good scenario. So when I look at it from a fundamental perspective, that means the fundamentals supporting multifamily are also deteriorating. Then if we look at something like interest rates, cap rates have been what we call extremely low. So cap rates have gotten to the point where they are turning the other way. So what are we going to see? We're going to see the multiple of cash flow for multifamily apartments coming under pressure. In addition, if you go to the Senior Loan Officer Survey from the Federal Reserve, senior loan officers have begun to tighten conditions on commercial real estate loans, and they're tightening the most on multifamily. Well, that's another negative out there. So not only is debt going to be more expensive, debt's going to be more difficult to come by. So financing the multifamily properties is going to become progressively more difficult. And lastly, and this is very important, it is cheaper to own a house than to rent. if we look at the average institutional single-family rental, which is approximately $1,530 per month, and then we look at the average ownership cost for the median existing home, assuming an FHA loan, 10% down, and having to take on mortgage insurance, what is the answer? The answer is it's 10% cheaper after taxes, assuming just a 20% tax rate for the owner to own a home than to rent. So from a pure economic perspective, it makes lots of sense to go buy a house. Lastly, when I own a home and I pay down my mortgage, what happens? I create equity. I can't do that owning a home. So we see many demographic and fundamentals that indicate that multifamily housing has probably seen its best days. So we are turning negative on multifamily housing for the first time in quite some time. And if we look at some other areas of the real estate business, we can take a look at lodging. Lodging is another area where things are beginning to deteriorate. Your average daily rate is slowing just as supply growth is accelerating and your occupancy may be down in 2017 despite a growing economy. This could cause a real problem, especially if there's a recession in 2018 or 2019. The hotel industry seems to be repeating its exact playbook from last economic cycle, whereby the fundamentals of the hotel industry deteriorated right into a recession. They were adding capacity just as the rug was pulled out from under them. And then that capacity kept coming during the recession. Not a good scenario. So we think that hotels are going to have a problem, and many, many major cities are going to see the rate of capacity growth in excess of 6% coming on in a very short period of time. So we think that the lodging area is going to have some problems, especially if we get into a recession. So let's look at some other things that we see out there, like self-storage. What's interesting about self-storage is there's a record amount of money being spent to build self-storage facilities, as well as a record amount of square footage under construction. There's 2.2 million square feet of self-storage under construction. That is not good. That is a record level. So it seems to me that you're going to have a problem in that area, especially if we have a recession. So let's go on to the next area of real estate, give you a quick look at mall REITs. Mall REITs are not the place to be, or malls, unless you're going to buy them and redevelop them into some other type of fundamentally driven real estate. Because the truth is that department store sales, same store sales, have been negative for the last 5 years, year over year in aggregate. While online sales have been growing 15% per year, we're changing where we buy stuff. We're buying more and more over the internet and less in malls. That's not good for companies or people who own malls with stores in them. One of the few areas that continues to do well is strip centers where you have, let's say, a large supermarket anchor. But for the traditional malls, it's going to be a problem from our perspective. Okay, so let's move on to a couple of other little things. Let's talk about data centers. Data centers are one of the few areas that continues to have good fundamentals underpinning it. Demand continues to accelerate. Having your company servers or using the cloud as a proxy for your servers is growing at over 50% per annum. Therefore, demand growth is strong enough to and is outstripping supply growth despite supply growing at a pretty rapid rate. So when we look at data centers, what we see is one area where things could work out okay and where things could even grow right through a recession. Not to say they wouldn't see a slowdown in that growth rate, but it grow it will do. So let's see what else. We can take a quick look at office. Office also has increasing levels of supply coming. Completions are accelerating to an excess of 50 million per square feet this year, and that will have a negative impact on the industry. In addition, the square footage of space occupied per employee continues to drop. So that has actually been dropping since about 2000. So we've been going down now for 15 years, and I don't see any reason why that won't continue. So when we look at that, that means every employee, even if we're adding workers in the universe of employees for the country, they're using less space per employee. Companies are using, as we know, open ballparks and limiting the square footage per employee as they're managing costs. Okay, the last thing we're going to take a look at is some of the industrial REITs. Industrial supply is okay. We've had a lot of warehouse put in place because we've got the internet. We're buying more on the internet. We need more warehouses to ship and transship stuff out of. So therefore, that one area seems to be doing okay. It will take a nick in a recession, but it should be okay because its fundamentals are underpinned by the growth of the internet. So when I look at real estate in general, what I can say is that fundamentals in general are neutral, or fundamentals are in a deteriorating mode, neither of which is probably good for deploying copious amounts of capital. Now, that does not mean you can't deploy capital and can't be judicious about it, but you really have to know what you're doing, and you have to ensure that how you're deploying capital, whether it be into multifamily type structures or into buying a house and flipping it, you got to know what you're doing because the environment is going to get treacherous and the backdrop is not going to bail you out. So what we would say for real estate is we are neutral to negative depending on the various areas. And we don't expect significant improvement till after the next recession. So, Dan, that is my uplifting message for today. I know it's probably not what your listeners want to hear, but it's the fundamentals as we see them in the marketplace.
Well, you bring up some good, interesting points here. So if I could read the mind of the listener right now, I would probably guess that I'd read I know for a fact, just from talking to a lot of the people who listen to the show, Paul, that a lot of people are having a mentality, you know, like myself, where we remember what happened in 2007, 8, and 9, and we had, you know, the underwriting time bomb there, and we saw real estate prices significantly drop as the recession came in. And I think there's a lot of people who potentially are erroneous, maybe sitting around waiting for this huge drop off in price that, I mean, if I look back through history, I would assume I lived through the late 90s. I remember what real estate did and it was flat, but I would assume that it's not going to be a humongous buying opportunity the way that we experienced in, say, 2009 and 10. Would you say that I'm kind of correct in that assumption there, Paul?
I think you're correct. What caused the huge drop in 2009, 2010, and into 2011 was copious amounts of leverage put on in the economic system, especially in the financial area, that basically bankrupted the financial system. And when you have a problem in the financial system, it interrupts the flow of credit in the economy. in contrast, going into this recession, the banks are in really good shape. They got lots and lots of capital, and they have not overextended themselves. So I do not expect the same type of drop you saw in the last recession. So I would agree with you, Dan. I don't see a big drop. I do think there will be some problem properties, especially, you know, in some areas like hotels. If they come on late and they don't get them up and stabilize them before the recession hits, then they could have a real problem. They could have a large debt load and end up upside down to the banks. But in general, I don't see the same kinds of problems we had last time.
So, you know, if we had somebody listening and they're buying, you know, duplex, triplex, handful single family units, is your advice be to buy now and try to lock in the rates before they rise, or would waiting 6 months to a year before making a few moves be the better decision?
Well, let's bifurcate that into two different things. One is buying the property. They can buy now, but whatever they're buying, I would not depend on prices to continue to go up at the rate they have over the last 5 years. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, you really shouldn't buy on appreciation is really what you're confirming there.
Right. So I don't think appreciation is going to really be there until after the next recession. So that's thing one. Thing two, I think the other thing you have to look at is interest rates. Interest rates are going higher. Now, while there will be a little pullback sometime in the next few months for whatever reason, because things never go in one direction in a straight line, right? I've been around too long. It never does that. We do think they're going to go higher. We think especially if the dollar peaks, it's really easy to get a print in the consumer price index above 3% inflation. And that could really spook the bond market. And you could see the bond market tack on pretty fast another, you know, 50 to 100 basis points onto interest rates. So, you know, I don't think it's going to get better from a borrowing cost perspective.
Kind of sounds like now's the best time to buy as long as it's property in the right location. So that's good news overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. You just can't, you cannot expect your property to appreciate. And you have to understand that all real estate's local, so you really got to know your local market really well. Make sure you're buying in the right location and you're buying the right property type.
All right. Well, Paul, I appreciate your time. I appreciate this great information. I have a few pages of notes here and a continued confidence in our ability to continue, you know, not necessarily with a frothy market, but certainly in a neutral and therefore somewhat stable market where some good deals can still be found and you can still feel safe enough to sleep at night if you're in the midst of an investment. I know that a lot of us have gone through that last go around when the recession came, have trouble sleeping at night no matter what the housing market's doing. But it is what it is. Paul, do you want to share some contact information in case there's somebody listening that would like to reach out and get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if any of your listeners wants to get in touch with me, they should either call our offices at 610-687-7766, or they should go to our website at www.greendrakeadvisors and fill out the contact us form, and we will get in touch with them.
Great. I will make sure to add that URL in the show notes here for the episode. And once again, Paul, thanks a lot for your time. It's been a great episode. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Dan.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Monthly Market Update REI Diamond Show. Are you looking for super cheap and super profitable deals on real estate in one of our five major U.S. markets? We are currently providing deals in Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, the Tampa Bay area in Florida, and the Washington, D.C. region / Baltimore area. You can check out and view all of the available deals by going to www.reidiamonds.com and clicking on the available deals link at the top of the page. You can also submit deals you have for sale as well. I am always looking to buy profitable real estate deals in those same five markets. I only request that if you are submitting a deal for me to purchase, that you are in direct contact with the owner of record. So that means if you're a real estate agent, I prefer that the seller is your client and you're not showing me a property that another agent has the listing. And if you're a wholesaler, I prefer that you are in direct contact with the owner of record. The reason that I ask that you are a direct seller is that I often like the opportunity to speak with or physically meet the owner, myself, or one of my partners in each of the specific markets. So you can submit those deals at the website, which is www.reidiamonds.com. And lastly, I'd like to ask you for a favor. If you've been enjoying the show, I'd like you to take a moment to post a review in either iTunes or Google Play. It helps us with the ratings, and it helps other people find the REI Diamond Show and hopefully get as much value as you've been getting out of the show. And I personally appreciate the feedback and do read that stuff myself. If you have certain questions or topics you'd like discussed on a future episode, or if you have a guest suggestion, somebody that you'd like me to reach out and invite on the show, you can contact me by clicking on the Contact Dan link at www.reidiamonds.com. I will catch you next week. Dan Breslin here, signing off.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin. To receive email notifications of new weekly episodes, sign up at www.reidiamonds.com.